If you are sitting at home next to your radio, you're hearing the music faster than you are if you're in the hall.
Listening for the secret. Searching for the sound. This is The Sound Podcast with Ira Haberman.
Bye. You've been listening to Touch of Grey from Dead & Company and their tour opener, August 16th, 2021, from Walnut Creek in Raleigh, North Carolina. Welcome into the Sound Podcast with Ira Haberman. And as per usual, I'm joined by technical director, technical producer, and all-round sweetheart of a guy, Adam Karsh. Welcome in, Adam.
Thank you. Thank you for having me again. This is fun. Look forward to it.
Now, before we get too deep into the weeds here, I do want to give a shout out to our pals in Blues Traveler. They were involved in a bus accident in Minnesota last week on their way to their August 20th show in Mayo Civic Park in Rochester, Minnesota. No other vehicles were involved, just their tour bus. The band and crew sustained minor injuries and were treated at a local hospital. The crash left them trapped inside the bus before law enforcement and first responders were able to free them from the vehicle. The band and crew were, of course, shaken, but were safe and performed as scheduled in Rochester August 20th. So there you go. Some scary stuff from Blues Traveler. And, of course, Chan was on the show about a month ago talking about their covers record. And believe it or not, I've been chatting with John Popper on Facebook Messenger a little bit.
Cool.
Yeah, we go way back. I've chatted with him before and on other projects, and I've seen him live, his solo project. I saw him live in Austin, Texas at South by Southwest. Wow, must be like 10 years ago already. And so I checked in with him, and everything seems to be doing okay. So, man, that's some scary stuff, but thank God everybody's okay.
Yeah, I saw that. I was very concerned. I saw the headline and I was like, oh no, what happened to Blues Traveler? And then as I got into it, I realized that they were all okay. Thank God. Right?
Thank God. Yeah, exactly. All right. So I've been teasing this for a while now on social media and with you.
Yeah, I know.
And we played some Dead & Company off the top of the show. We played the tour opener, Touch of Grey. I Will Get By, I Will Survive, or We Will Get By, We Will Survive.
Very fitting.
Very fitting. And all right, well, I'm just going to go for it, Adam. I'm just going to say it.
All right.
I'm a fan of Dead & Company.
I like them too. I hear you.
I know.
I like them.
It's hard to admit it because I do poo-poo on them quite a bit. And let's face it, they do have, you know, the nicknames Slow and Co and Dead and Slow and all those things exist.
Yes.
And even today, people were commenting on my personal Facebook page about how slow things are. And yes, the energy could be pumped up a notch or two or three.
I agree.
But you know what? Some of these songs, maybe they don't need to be. Like Jackstraw doesn't really need to be a dance number. And
no, I'm good with a slow Jackstraw.
There are some slower songs that are appropriately slow. They're never going to be J-Rad. Like they're never going to be Joe Russo's Almost Dead. And they're never going to be what the Grateful Dead were when Jerry was alive. And certainly not what they were in the Coke-infused 80s. That's never going to happen again either. But I think there is a place for what Dead & Co. are doing. And I think that the musicianship is incredible. And I'll get a little deeper into those thoughts in just a moment. The one thing that does drive me crazy more than the pace is Bob's guitar tone. And you and I have chatted about this. You and I have chatted about this.
I love Bob, by the way, and I know you do too. Full disclaimer, I love Bob.
Full disclosure, love Bob. But
yeah,
it's something that he's been doing. You know, he was doing it before Dead & Company. He was doing it with Rat Dog. He was even doing it with the Grateful Dead for a while near the end. Dude, get rid of the clickety-clack. Like, I don't mean, like, please. And so what ends up happening now is, you know, I tell a lot of my friends that I can listen to a show five or six times because every time I listen to a show, I tune out everybody else and I just Just Tune In Jerry, or a Just Tune In Phil, or a Just Tune In the drums, or Billy, or whatever. You know,
I'm with you. I can do that too.
I can now tune out Bob.
I love Bob. I totally love him. I'd love to meet him. I'd love to shake his hand. I'd love to hug him and say, Bob, I love you. Thank you for the music. But the clickety clack, and I don't know if anyone else uses that term outside of us, but there's a lot of clickety clack with his tone. And yeah. I don't dig it at all. Yeah. I just don't.
I don't mind when you're counting in a song. Okay, yes, fine. I do. Yeah, I do, actually.
That's okay.
Yeah, that's okay. Count in the song however you want. And you know, as the senior statesman of the band, although I don't think he is the senior statesman. I think Billy's probably the senior statesman of the band. Anyway, having said that, count in the band however you like. Just please. Just turn the knob one way or the other on a foot pedal or on your guitar itself. Just please change the tone. It's just mind boggling.
I was going to say, like, I love old school Bobby Tone. For example, the release, the formerly the Warlocks from the fall tour of 89, specifically October 9th. 1989, when they opened the show Feel Like a Stranger.
Yeah.
Like Bob's tone on that Stranger is perfect. I love what he does there.
Yeah. It's that clickety clack thing. It's just mind numbing.
I don't know how he morphed into that, because his like 89, 90 tone.
Yeah.
It's perfect. Like, I love it. I listen specifically to it. It's magical. It's amazing. It's incredible. So that Bob tone, like, can you bring that back? That's what I love.
Yeah. There's got to be a reason why he does it. And I'd love to have him on the show to talk about why he does that.
Would you confront him?
No, well, I won't be a confrontation as much as it'll be an information session for all of us, for me to understand, for our listeners to understand. And you know, we'd love to have Bob on to talk about that. I don't know if that's ever going to happen, but Bob,
I'd be happy.
Open invitation. Anytime you want to come on to talk about Dead & Company and Wolf Brothers and the tone of your guitar, we'd love to have you on. We still think you're a brilliant player. We still think you're one of the best rhythm guitar players ever.
I think he is the best, underrated, the best ever rhythm guitar player.
Yeah. Just the clickety clack, man.
It's become a punchline for us.
Yeah, that's right. So, and I also want to dissuade detractors who say, oh, you know, John Mayer's not Jerry Garcia. Nobody's Jerry Garcia. Jeff Comanci's not Jerry Garcia. Trey Anastasio is not Jerry Garcia. Nobody is Jerry Garcia. So get over that. So there are two things that you have to get over, I think. There are three things, really. A, the pace of things that are going on. B, the clickety clack, because it can get distracting. Sorry. I don't mean to make you laugh. Although
hashtag clickety clack. Sorry.
Hashtag yes. Clickety clack. And the third thing is John Mayer is not Jerry Garcia. So if you get over those three things, I think you can have a really enjoyable time listening to Dead & Company. More to the point, this isn't the Grateful Dead. And right. The sooner people realize that, the better off everybody will be. Okay. Now, agreed. I've seen Dead & Company, I think at least I saw them twice in Boston, and I think I saw them in Buffalo. I've seen them at least three or four times. Okay. And I've seen every incarnation of the Dead since. And I've known going in that they weren't the Grateful Dead. The Grateful right. Dead died September 9th, 1990.
August, you mean?
August.
I know you know that.
Yeah, of course. So that's it. I mean, there is no more Grateful Dead. Everything else is just a tribute band. Bands playing this canon of music very nicely, and there are nuggets within what every band does that makes you say, "Oh man, this stuff's incredible." Mm-hmm. So I want to point out a few things from tour thus far that have really been enjoyable to me. And I've listened or watched every show of tour thus far. Okay. And I will say this, John Mayer, Jeff Comanci, and Othiel Burbridge are brilliant musicians.
Totally. Brilliant. Yes, they are.
Yeah, now John makes goofy faces when he's playing guitar.
He has the guitar face.
Yeah, and Jeff, you know, Jeff does his thing, and O'Teal could be the happiest man to ever be on stage. Like, I get it. I get all of those things. But yep, there are moments where the three of these guys shine, mm-hmm, and I think make Dead & Co. worth seeing or worth listening to. So I just want to point out that on 8/16, also, this is still at the Raleigh, North Carolina show, in the first set, there's a Brown Eyed Women. And if I'm not mistaken, we've played it somewhere. I think we played it on Live 5 last week. The interplay between Jeff and John is outstanding. And it may not come across as well if you're just listening, but if you're watching it, and by the way, you can watch every tour show at nugs.net. I'd encourage you to do so. If you have the coin to do so, you should do it. The interplay between them is incredible, and they're having so much fun that it's really worth checking out. Now, on 8/18, there was a Scarlet Fire, and O'Teal sings Fire on the Mountain. So it's not anymore a question of let Trey sing or let O'Teal sing or whatever. O'Teal now has a place to sing wherever he wants, or wherever is appropriate, I should say. And I got to tell you, I love Fire on the Mountain with O'Teal.
He's great on it. I agree. He's great on Fire on the Mountain, and he does a really nice job on that song.
I'm going to take you now to Citi Field, 8/20. Citi Field in New York. For the Eyes of the World into Uncle John's Band into China Doll. Now, I briefly talked about the John Mayer, Jeff Chimenti interplay, so keyboard and lead guitar. I want to also mention O'Teal's part in those jams. If you listen to that Eyes jam coming out of Eyes into Uncle John's Band, it's otherworldly. It doesn't matter that it's not the Grateful Dead. It's three musicians that are absolutely killing it and sounding amazing, like incredible. So that Eyes into UJB into China Doll, which O'Teal sings. Now, you and I both love The Morning Dew from Madison Square Garden in 87.
I think it's September 18th. I can verify that. September 18th, 1987.
You're way better than dates than I am.
I know this stuff.
Well, it could be the marijuana. Anyway,
it is. I'm here. It's the release is, well, at least the one that I have. It's 30 trips around the sun. 30 trips, September 18th, Madison Square Gardens. Yep, that's right. So I was right.
Right. And there's also some incredible YouTube footage of Jerry just kind of in the spotlight. And you'll want to look that up too. We'll provide a link to that in the show notes so that you can find it more easily.
Ridiculous. That Morning Dew is ridiculous.
Probably my second favorite Morning Dew to the one that they talk a bit about in Long Strange Trip.
Mm-hmm. On Europe 72?
In Europe 72, where the sound guy leaves the booth to go actually listen to it live.
I know the story.
Yeah. So I would say those are my two most favorite Morning Dews. There have been other great Morning Dews. Shout out to Ira Cottrell, our buddy in Boston, who loves Morning Dew. It's his favorite song. I got to tell you, they played a Morning Dew in Philadelphia August 21st at Citizens Bank Park that we'll get to at the end of the show. That is absolutely outstanding. Now, I don't love other people singing Morning Dew. I'm gonna be upfront with you. It drives me a little crazy that it's not Jerry singing Morning Dew, but Jerry will never sing Morning Dew again, Ira. So get over yourself.
I know.
But 8/21 Morning Dew from Citizens Bank Park in Philadelphia is outstanding. I highly recommend everybody check it out, and you'll have the opportunity to do so at the end of this show.
Fun fact, by the way, Morning Dew is a contemporary folk song by Canadian, that's CanCon, Canadian singer-songwriter Bonnie Dobson. Did you know that?
No, I didn't. Oh, no, I didn't know that.
Morning Dew is Canadian content. Pretty cool.
What I think is incredible, and that is great. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. The CRTC and the Canadian government. Thank you for mentioning that. Oh my God.
Sorry. Had to do that.
You know, most people don't even know that we're in Canada.
Yeah, we are.
Yeah, we are. We're hunkered down in Canada. That's why we can't go see any shows. We'll get to that in just a little bit. But I got to tell you, there's no better time to be alive and be a deadhead and love the music of the Grateful Dead as there is now. I know that when the Grateful Dead were around, it was an amazing time too.
Sure.
But think about this. Dead and Company, Joe Russo's Almost Dead, Dark Star Orchestra, Billy and the Kids, Phil and Friends. So those are just, you know, the top.
Terrapin Family Band, does that count?
Yeah, yeah. Of national touring bands, okay?
Yes, okay.
Then there are all the regional bands. In Toronto, we've got our buddies in Mars Hotel. And
there are
other bands, all Steely Dead. There are bands all across North America that perform as the Grateful Dead in tribute bands, right? Mm-hmm. And there are so many that we can't name them all. You guys are more than welcome to shout out your favorite Grateful Dead tribute band in the comments. Tag them if you'd like. We'd love to give them more pub and let them know that we've sort of mentioned them here. But there are tons of Grateful Dead tribute bands. And so it's an amazing time to be alive. But more than that, more than just those bands, there are touring bands that make it a habit of playing Grateful Dead music in their sets. Whether it's the infamous String Dusters or Billy Strings.
I love it.
Or Green Sky Bluegrass.
I love it.
Or, you know, Mo or Widespread Panic. Like, everybody is playing the Grateful Dead music now. And it's an incredible time to be alive. It really is. I mean, we're inundated with Grateful Dead music. And, wow, it's a good thing, right?
Well, they're the greatest band in the world, right?
Yeah, they are the greatest band in the world. All right, we're gonna stop here. We're gonna pause here, and when we come back, we're gonna talk about another great band and much more. This is The Sound Podcast.
You're listening to The Sound Podcast with Ira Haberman.
Hey, I wanted to make sure that you all know all the places where you can join the conversation and interact with us and the rest of the Sound Podcast community. On Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, just follow @TheSoundWithIra. Also, the best way to reach out directly to us is on those platforms. Preferably Twitter, but whatever works best for you obviously works well for us. Now, back to the show. was Lookout Cleveland from the Masonic Auditorium in Cleveland, Ohio, March 16th, 2029. That means they haven't even played it yet. I actually think it's 2019. Whoever's doing these show notes, kid. Anyway, we'll leave that in. Funny. We're going to leave that in.
That was funny. I'm not even editing that out.
Okay, fine. We'll leave that in. Cool. Lookout Cleveland. And we played it because J-Rad were in Cleveland last week, I think Thursday night last week. And then they were in Buffalo Friday night. And I have to tell you, I'm pissed. I was supposed to be at both of those shows and would have been at both of those shows if the border situation was a little bit better. We looked into flying to Cleveland, driving to Buffalo, and then flying home from Buffalo. The only way, by the way, that you could cross the border right now is by air. So it was something like $1,200 for me to fly to Cleveland, then go to Buffalo, and then fly home from Buffalo. Not only is it absurd in terms of the amount of money it would have cost, it's absurd when it's like a 4.5 hour drive to Cleveland and an hour and a half drive to Buffalo.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just absurd. So I'm frankly pissed that I missed those two shows because I was excited to see them. Last night they played in Boston, and I'm sure we'll get word of how they were in Boston. It's amazing to me, Karsh, how crucial social media has become for people on Couch Tour.
Yep.
And checking out clips on YouTube or on Facebook where, you know, tons of really great people are holding up their iPhones or their cameras. How important eTree.org is and Nugs.net and LiveFish.com and all of these services that we didn't have growing up. We just kind of traded tapes and hoped for the best.
Right. And now you're getting a high definition or a 4K video of something from the Fish Tour. Or I just watched last night, it's Sunday now, I watched on Saturday the opener of Dead & Co. from Philly. I caught the Mississippi Half Step opener.
Yeah.
I thought it was great.
Yeah, it is great. And thank God that those things exist, because I don't know what I would do if I talk about FOMO. So I'm reading text messages, or at least a scroll on the J-Rad group on Facebook. Shout out to J-Rad is Rad and J-Rad is Family, or J-Rad Family on Facebook. I'm reading the set list because I can't be there, and I'm reading the comments because I can't be there. And I'm just thinking, man, life sucked in the 80s and the 90s because we didn't know what was going on. We would just send tapes and hope that we got some sweet, sweet sounding tapes back. Now it's like we're there without being there, kind of.
Right. And with really good quality, either audio and or video. And I can tell you, just based on what you were saying, I have a ton of scratchy bootlegs that just sound like garbage. And I'm thankful that, like, fast forward 20, 25 years later, I have the official CD digitized remastered copy, you know, or it's on Spotify as well. It's amazing. Like, I have so many shows that are half shows that I used to record off the Grateful Dead Hour. Did you ever listen to the Grateful Dead Hour?
Of course. Shout out to David Gans. Of course.
That's right. So I would tape the set, right? And now I would only have like partial sets and whatever, half shows. And now I have the full blown, beautifully remastered entire show. It's amazing.
The truth is, you don't even need to own the CD anymore. You can just use services like Nugs.net or LiveFish.com or ReListen or Live Music Archive. You don't even need to have the physical disc anymore.
Right.
It's all up there in the cloud. So,
yep.
It's thank God, because we were living in the dark ages.
Yeah, it was bad. Bad news.
When we had to, you know, walk uphill both ways. Shoeless in the snow
to school. I had to write out the set lists on my Maxell XL2S's
XL290s. Yeah, that's right.
Was it S 90? You know.
Yeah. Well, you're fancy. S's. That's bougie already. That's fancy stuff. Summer Camp Music Festival also went last weekend. 3 days of Mo and Umphrey's McGee. Two sets of Billy Strings. Literally every band we've ever had on the show was at Summer Camp. Just I just hope people masked up or people got tested before they showed up or people got vaccinated. These, you know, it just, listen, if you're not going to get vaccinated, we talked about this last week, at least get tested so that people know that they're safe at these festivals, because the yeah. last thing anybody wants to do is go to a festival, have a great time and come home and be sick for weeks after, not with the Wook flu, but with something worse, like with Wook flu. The Wook flu. Oh, somebody God. Was saying, shout out to Mark T, our pal who does a great job with Jerry Garcia Band covers and Grateful Dead covers here in the city of Toronto. Mark T was at the show in City Field and he was saying how New York does it right. You know, if you can't show proof of vaccination, you're not in. That's
well,
it.
Good. Good. Keep people safe.
Yeah. Keep people safe. It's not about your rights. It's about everybody else's rights to be safe, I think.
Yep.
And you're entitled to your rights. Just, for sure. Just be smart about it. All right. So we'll have lots more coverage of summer camp coming up on Live 5 this week. And of course, more coverage of JRAD. And I just really hope, that by the time Borderland Festival rolls around towards the end of September, we're allowed to drive across the border into beautiful Buffalo, New York, and to Knox Farm. And I'm able to take in some shows at the Borderland Festival, because nothing would hurt me more than missing my favorite festival. So let's hope that border gets opened up in late September.
You're listening to The Sound Podcast with Ira Haberman.
Did you know that we're constantly building playlists of artists we feature on the show? We also have lots of fun playlists and, of course, 7 things you should be listening to and all the things you should be listening to at our Spotify account. Simply search for The Sound Podcast on Spotify or go to thesoundpodcast.com/Spotify and you can easily follow the channel or individual playlists. Now, back to the show.
Thank you.
Wow, widespread panic and maggot brain. August 8th, 2021, from the ExploreAsheville.com arena. Where else? In Asheville, North Carolina. I mean, could you think of a more apt name for the arena? I guess ExploreAsheville.com is sponsoring the arena.
Very tourism.
Man, they really know how to get you in Asheville, North Carolina. Home of Marcus King. Asheville, North Carolina.
So, interesting. Didn't know that.
Yeah. Oh, I'm here with tons of information. This is the chance in the show where we get to find out what Adam's listening to, and he'll run down a whole bunch of dates probably for us. But Adam, what are you listening to right now?
A lot of Olivia Rodrigo, to be honest. That's courtesy of my girls. But no, I'm joking.
I'm like, what show? This isn't MTV or anything. Like, no. What are we...
I drive them to camp in the morning. I don't choose the playlist. So a lot of Olivia Rodrigo, but no, I'm kidding. I mean, I'm not kidding, but yeah, I have to cleanse my ears after that. I do not even listen. I find that for me in the summers, I listen to a lot of Crosby, Stills, and Nash.
Okay.
To me, they're summer music. And and specifically, I've been listening, it's been on repeat, the Crosby, Stills, and Nash show recorded at the Universal Amphitheater, November 28th, 1982. It's an official release. I don't think there's an audio release, but there's like a DVD release. It used to be a VHS, and I have the DVD. I've digitized it, and I now have it in my library. That is a fantastic show. That's a really, really classic early 80s Crosby, Stills, and Nash show.
Okay, well, I'll take your word for it.
No, it's really, I love Crosby, Stills, and Nash. And actually, the keyboard player on that tour, Michael Finnegan, just passed away week or so. And that was sad. I mean, you know.
May his memory be a blessing.
Yeah, he's really good. Michael Finnegan was such an asset to their band in that tour. He's amazing. And yeah, I mean, I'm all right, but I was sad when I found out he passed away.
I should mention that I watched the David Geffen, American Masters, Inventing David Geffen on Netflix. And if you're a Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young fan, Joni Mitchell, Jackson Browne, the Eagles, David Geffen fan, you definitely want to check that documentary out, because we owe a lot to David Geffen and Asylum Records and everything else. I mean, he really pioneered music in the 70s. And there's a distinct reason why I love music from the 70s. And it has a lot to do with David Geffen being alive and signing these acts, either to his management company or to his label or to whatever record label he was working with. So shout out David Geffen. Now, you mentioned Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young. What else?
I like Young too.
Yeah.
What am I listening to? Well, in that vein, there's also a 91 concert. There's another DVD release from 91. Again, there's no album release, but it's a DVD. I like fast forwarding about 10 years. They still have amazing sound. They still had it. They were great. I really like to hear that era of CSN. I like their early stuff too, of course, 69, 70, Deja Vu, all that. That's to me is brilliant. But it's neat to hear them 20 years later sounding so tight and so clean, so smooth. And also I find, I don't know, just to add the third, so we go from Olivia Rodrigo to Crosby, Stills, and Nash. And I find, and you know, Grateful Dead is always heavy in the mix, and Jerry Garcia Band, of course, it is always heavy in the mix. Like, talk about it for hours. But Pink Floyd has shown up a few times this summer as well. I could listen to Dark Side and Animals on constant repeat. Those albums are very meaningful for me. So there you go. That's what I've been listening to.
There you go. Three things you won't catch me listening to on a regular basis.
No Floyd, no CSN, and certainly no Olivia Rodrigo, who I shouldn't even be mentioning on this podcast.
No.
I'm sorry for doing that.
I get it.
Oh, she's great. She's great.
The problem with me is I tend to let personalities get in the way of music, and I can't. I love David Gilmour.
I'm not a Waters fan. I will say that right outright. I am not.
But
a Waters
I can't. Fan. I can't listen to Pink Floyd, and I can't listen to. I can't figure out which of the two is douchier, David Crosby or Neil Young. I have my thoughts. Probably David Crosby. but I can't. And I know I'm missing a lot, but I listen to Stephen Stills and I listen to Manassas and I really like that stuff a lot.
Yeah, I love Stills and Manassas is great.
But I can't. I'm sorry. Just thinking about the douchebaggery of it all, it's really hard for me.
Sorry to bring this toxic content into the show.
You know what is toxic? My turtle, the tank needs to be cleaned. And I can't, I don't know if you can see this or not, but my eyes are watering because the smell of his poop in the air is just destroying my eyes. So
is Panic's tank needs to be cleaned?
Yeah, that's right. My turtle's name is Panic. Shout out Widespread Panic.
Yeah,
his tank needs to be cleaned or he's going to die and I'm not going to be allowed to sit in my living room anymore.
My eyes are watering and I'm just watching you through this screen.
Oh, it's terrible. Oh, all right. I'm not going to tell you what I'm listening to because I do that every day all the time and it becomes annoying. So if you want to know what I'm listening to, just follow us on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram, either my personal account or The Sound with Ira, and you can find out what I'm listening to. But I will tell you what's what's up today on 7 Things You Should Be Listening To. We have a new tune from Neil Francis. If you don't know Neil, you should check him out. He's amazing. It's like if Dr. John and I don't want to say Alan Toussaint because that's too much on the nose, but you know, if a couple of really Dr. John and Newman, what's his name? Randy Newman had a baby. Yep. It would probably be Neil Francis. So we have that up there. We have a new track from Robert Walter and Stanton Moore. Man, more Rhodes, more Fender Rhodes from Robert Walter. Jeremy Garrett of the Infamous String Dusters has a solo record out. Wishing Well is a song from that. That is there. New project from Sturgill Simpson, The Ballad of Dude, spelled D-O-O-D, and Juanita. He has a new record out and a song called Juanita from Sturgill Simpson and Willie Nelson. We have a cover of the Grateful Dead's Ripple from the California Honey Drops. Our pals in ALO have a new song called Summer Dream. We got the time. And that's up on 7 Things You Should Be Listening To. And I don't have a 7th song, but by the time this goes to print, there will be a 7th song and you'll be able to hear a 7th song on 7 Things You Should Be Listening To. As a reminder, if you don't want to listen to the 7 things each week, you can go in and listen to all the things you need to know and bookmark that puppy because that has over 200 songs on it right now. And it's a great mix. Just put it on play, put it on shuffle, and you'll have a great time. I do also want to shout out, you know, I mentioned this, I think on social media, on my personal social media, been watching a lot of WKRP, and because of that, I was inspired to put together a 70s R&B and soul mix with a little bit of modern jam band instrumentals and some cool jazz from that era as well. So there's a playlist called Heavy Early. Shout out to Dr. Johnny Fever, who used that moniker when he was filling in for one late night shift on KRP. Did I just call it WKRP RB?
That's almost.
Almost, right?
Yeah.
That's a different place. So shout out to Johnny Fever. We're binging. I'm on episode 12 of season 3 of WKRP right now. So I love that. And you can listen to the Heavy Early playlist as well. So that's pretty cool. I do want to mention, my voice just cracked. I think it's from the noxious fumes of Panic's tank. I do want to mention that it's so easy to get in touch with us. Aside from social media and, you know, at The Sound with Ira on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. If you go to our website, thesoundpodcast.com, there's a little microphone floating around. And if you click on that microphone, you can send us some voicemail. And what's really cool is we'll play some of that voicemail in this third segment. So if you want to shout out a favorite band, if you want to tell us something that we should be listening to, if you want to tell me that you're calling the SPAC about my turtle situation, whatever you want to do, you can do that by going to the soundpodcast.com and clicking on a little microphone and leaving us voicemail. And you can do that anytime. You don't need an invitation. You can do that anytime. Before we leave you, though, let's go back to Citizens Bank Park in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, August 21st, 2021, for this Dead & Company version of Morning Dew.
Cry this morning. the morning dew. Thank you.
You've been listening to The Sound Podcast. Technical production by Adam Karsh and Andrea Ruse. Inspired by the music we love. For more, visit thesoundpodcast.com.